Psalm 142. Amen. You find that place. Thank the Lord for you being here this morning. And I'm glad we have a hope. Amen. And I do believe this. I believe that we're close and I look in anticipation with the Lord coming. And we need to be busy about the Master's business. Amen. I thank the Lord for His care for us. He loves us. I want to share with you this morning, Pastor, the scripture the Lord dealt my heart with through the week. And I trust to be a blessing to your heart. Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. And when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. You ever been like that? You ever been when your spirit was just overwhelmed? David said, I've cried to the Lord with all my trouble, with all my complaint. I made my supplication to Him. He said, when my soul was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walk, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I don't know how many of you have ever been in a situation like this, to where you just felt like your troubles were just more than you could stand, the complaints that you had, that is just crying out to God, and then your spirit overwhelmed, even felt like, as David said here, that the persecutors were stronger than you were and that you were in like a prison, just couldn't get out of that prison. Well, there's a verse in verse number 4 I want you to look at in this psalm. I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would help me. Thank you for the wonderful congregational singing this morning. Thank you, Lord, for touching Chris and blessing our hearts and reminding us, our Father, of what you've done. And God, I do pray your blessing on Charles Carroll's family, on Sister Joyce's family, and Ms. Dudley's family. God, minister grace to all of them. Our Father, we pray you'd be honored in the memorial services in the next few days and today. And God, I pray right now that God, there are precious people here in this building, our Father, who know beyond any shadow of doubt, if their heart quit beating now, they'd go home. If the Lord Jesus Christ came in the rapture, they'd get to go home. And our Father, we rejoice in that truth and thank you for it. And Father, I pray for our friends here in the building and in the internet audience and in the radio audience who may not know where they're going. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to speak to them. And then, Father, I pray for those, our Father, who feel overwhelmed, for those, our Father, who have so many burdens and cares and feels if they are in a prison. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, would you speak to hearts this morning? I pray, God, that you would do a work. Our Father, no doubt that our Father, all these things and all of our enemies are stronger than we are. We confess, our Father, we need you, but God, we know what you're able to do. And Father, I bow before you this morning with a grateful heart for all you've done for me. And God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would speak through me and God to your people and to those who don't know you, but God, draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And God, I'll give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. David's cry was this, no man cared for my soul. I've got just 3 or 4 little things I want to share with you this morning. I pray God will make them real to us and get in our heart and that he'll speak to us. First of all, I want to suggest this to you. David said, no man cares for my soul. I want to tell you, David is the king of Israel. He's the sweet singer of Israel. And he is a man after God's own heart. In this particular situation, there's a rebellion in his kingdom. His own son's trying to kill him. And he has been in exile for some length of time. But this is God's man. This is the king of Israel. And I was reading this week in the Minor Prophets where they said once again that Israel was the apple of God's eye. I heard somebody say the other day that a lot of things that's going on so far as our military activity overseas is all because of our defense of Israel. Can I tell you right now, my dear friend, if anything's happening, Israel's defending us. The Bible said to Abraham, the Lord said to Abraham, I bless them that bless thee and I'll curse them that curse thee. And when you read the minor prophets, which has to do with the exile and then with the Gentile nations around them, God dealt with those people according to how they dealt with Israel. And I'm going to tell you how you treat Israel is how God's going to treat you. And we need to honor and pray for Israel and pray that God will sustain them. But can I say, David is the king of Israel. He's the king. But notice what I learned from this. David said, no man cares for my soul. No man. There is a craving for caring. There is in the heart of every person in this building and every person in the radio audience and in the internet audience, there is something in every person that wants somebody to care. Everybody has that in them. No man can live as an island to himself. People say, I don't care what people think, but they do. I don't need anybody else, but they do. There's something always missing. There is a craving for somebody to care. There's something missing in your life if you don't have that. It gives to that person's worth. I'm worth something. When I was pastoring down in Valdosta, Georgia, on one Sunday morning, a couple of our men came in, and I approached them, and I could tell they were very distraught. They just come from a local motel out on I-75, and they said, Brother Billy, we just went as a young lady there in the motel on I-75, and we were called to her room on the motel, and she had put a gun in her mouth and pulled the trigger. And that it said they'd been to similar scenes, and it was just the situation, of course, was very troubling and distressing to them. The man said, what troubled me more than anything was on a pad right beside the bed, these words, nobody cares. That young lady came to the place where she felt like nobody cares because everybody wants to know my life is worth something to somebody else. People around you, everybody you meet, your family, your friends, your neighbors, everybody wants to know that somebody cares. It is so important that people know that. You know what happens in a marriage? What destroys a marriage so many times? It's not the things that people think, but it is that idea that they get to the place where one or the other mate feels like the other one really does not care. I've counseled people, and I've come to talk with people when they've had such problems in their life and in their marriage, and they say this, I just don't care anymore. I don't care what he does. I don't care what she does. I just don't care. Now, what they're doing, they're putting that up as a defense. But really, the deep hurt is this. I don't care because I don't feel that they care for me. And everybody has that in them that they want somebody to care. It gives their life worth. There are so many children that are in rebellion, that are get in trouble. And the reason is they feel like nobody really cares. Their mama, their daddy, all wrapped up in their life and other things, and they don't count. They're not really important because they really don't care for them. Your friends, people around you, they need to know, and they have a desire to know that somebody really cares. It gives you worth. I'm worth something because somebody cares about me. Somebody cares about my burden. Somebody cares about my need. Somebody cares about me. And my dear friend, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to do all those things, but you do have to care. There's a longing in the heart of every person you meet for somebody to care. So many people feel like that nobody cares. But the second thing I want to suggest to you this morning, that care has to be conveyed. It has to be showed. It has to be shown. I don't know. David said, no man cared for my soul. But I do know that when you read the context of the history of David, there were some people who cared for him. Joab cared for him. Others cared for him. They loved their king. But he got to that place where he felt like nobody cared. And it could have been that nobody was showing that care. I want to show you what the Bible says about that. Go with me, please, in the book of 1 John. Near the end of your New Testament, turn all the way. Just before you get to the book of Revelation, you'll find these small epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And find, if you will, please, 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. I want to read to you, begin at verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up the bowels of his compassion from him, how dwell the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Care has to be conveyed. I mean, David said, nobody cared for me. Now, some of them did. I know they did if you read the context of his life. But it may have been at this particular point, at this particular junction in his life, nobody had showed that care. Nobody was showing how much they loved him, how much they supported him, how much they cared. And it has to be showed. You know, the Word of God said this, don't love just in word, but show it in what you do, in deed and in truth. My dear friend, it's got to be shown. You've got to show that you care people. Demonstrate that you care about them. Demonstrate that there's something there that you want to be a help to them and be a blessing to them. Listen, if you don't show care, he said this, how dwelleth the love of Christ in us? Did you know that not caring for people demonstrates a flaw in your faith? I mean, you're the problem. He said, don't love just in word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. And he said, if you don't do that, how dwells the love of God in you? He's saying this, if we're not a caring, loving, sharing, helping individual, then it says something about us. It says something about our relationship with God. My dear friend, it is a flaw in our faith if we don't demonstrate to them. Listen, it is a dereliction of our duty. He said, you and I are to love one another, care one for another. He said, Christ laid down his life for us, we'll lay down life for the brethren. And if we don't do that, we're disobedient to God. I don't know, whenever we think about our disobedience to God, the first thing we think about is maybe our giving or our attendance to church or whatever. But did you know, if you don't show God's loving kindness to people, if you don't demonstrate that in some form or fashion, my dear friend, it is our disobedience to God's command. And that's a sin. Did you know that? Any disobedience to what God wants you to do is a sin. When you don't show your concern and your love for people, my dear friend, and you don't demonstrate it. Don't love just in word. Don't love just in, but demonstrate it. He mentions here in regard to the material things. You have this world's good. Somebody has a physical need. And you don't meet that need. Love of Christ is not in you. It's disobedience for you not to help and do what God have you to do and do what God leads you to do. It's disobedience if you don't do that. And then on the other side, he said this about it. He said, if you do those things, he said, you'll have an assurance in your heart. You know, it is a beneficial thing for you to show your love for people, to meet their needs and to love them and care for them and to show them how much you care. It gives assurance to your heart. It helps you to grow. He said, and by this you'll know. And you demonstrate that love of Christ. It's a blessing. Somebody has said this, it's more blessed to give. The Word of God says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Because it's such a great benefit to you. I mean, it gives assurance in your heart that you're right with God. That you're trying, you're not trying to buy God's approval. You're not trying to buy your salvation. But it is something that flows out of you. Because you care. Care has to be conveyed. It has to be shown. Don't just say it. Do it. I mean, touch lives. Get involved in people's lives. I'll say this to you. The next step is this. In that passage of Scripture in 1 John, he said this. Go back to it. I turned my page. I don't know if you did or not. But back in 1 John in chapter number 3, once again, let's look at that passage of Scripture together and see how it begins in verse number 16. Our Lord Jesus Christ, it says in this passage of Scripture, Give me just a second and I'll be there. He said this in chapter number 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. Can I say to you, not only is this care, no man care for my soul, it is a desire, it's a craving in everybody's heart that somebody would care for them. Not only on my part and your part is that care to be conveyed, it's to be shared, not just in word, not just in tongue, but in deed. We are to show love for people in any kind of way we can and meet any need they've got, to be with them, to pray with them, to love them. Greatest care that you can show is to share Christ with somebody. But I will say this, the third step in this thing is this. To show care is costly. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us and he laid down his life for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is cost involved to it. And sometimes it puts me and you at some type of discomfort. Sometimes it puts us at some type of expense. It costs us some time. It costs us some money. It costs us some effort. It cost us a little part of our lives to do that. He said, Christ laid down his life for us. It is costly. I want you to look over, please, in your Bible, another passage, 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, let's listen to the Apostle Paul as he talked about that. In 2 Corinthians, in his life of ministry, he says in 2 Corinthians, turn over to chapter number 11. And look with me at verse number 22. And he said this, Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? Now speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. He's talking about his suffering. In his life, in his ministry, the word minister means servant, means to demonstrate care. It means he's loving people, wants them saved. He's given his life to that. He's laid down his life for them. And he said, I've experienced all these things. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one, 39 stripes. And that's the same thing they did to Christ when they scourged him. And the Apostle Paul experienced that on 5 different occasions. 5, by the way, is the number of grace. Number 25. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in peril of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Why? Because he cared. There's a cost to it. And see, we kind of live in a little comfort zone. We don't want to upset ourselves. I mean, we don't want to upset our little lifestyle. And it costs you some things to care for people. And in Paul's occasion, probably much more than anybody else. But the next statement is what I want you to come to. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Care costs you something. Paul equates his love and care for the saints with all of that suffering that he did, shipwreck, beaten with stripes 39 times on 5 different occasions, beaten with a rod, stoned, and all those things. All that he went through, and he said, also, there's that care, that burden I carry for the churches, for the saints of God. I care for them. My dear friend, it is costly to care. It is costly. It costs you some things. It's an investment in your life. I was thinking, I did a wedding for my niece up in Virginia, 250 miles up there and back on 2 different occasions, Friday and Saturday. And I just think about those few things. I don't know how long I'm going to live, but on the average wedding, I tie up about 3 days, one for meeting and counseling and one for rehearsal and one for the wedding. I know you say, well, don't take about an hour or whatever, but you know, you know it's coming that day, so you can't get into anything else that's going to interfere with that. You can't do anything that, you know, you can't go fishing because the fish are biting. You might not want to come back and stuff like that, you know. But if I'm going to live 30 days, if I'm not going to live but 30 more days, and I tie up 3 days of my life to do a wedding, that means I gave them a tenth of my life. It costs you something to care. It costs you something to spend time with people. It is an investment of your life in their life. It's more than the money. It's more than physical things you may do for them. And it is showing them how much you love them because you give them a portion of your life. It is costly. Listen, everybody's craving. Everybody wants to know somebody cares. In this community, all around us, there are people who desire, and they just want to know somebody cares. Share the gospel with them. Love them. Pray for them. Do what you can. Church members, God's people, not just us, but Christians across this country need to know somebody really cares. Because David said, I got overwhelmed. He said, I felt like I was in a prison. And he said, I couldn't deliver myself. No man cared for my soul. I looked for help. I pleaded for help, but it didn't seem to come. Everybody craves that. Even the king of Israel needs that. And it has to be shown. Don't love in tongue and word, but love in deed, the Bible said. And that care's costly, costs you something. And lastly this morning, I'd say this to you. Care is exhibited in Christ as in nobody else. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Nobody. Nobody ever cared for you like Jesus. The Bible said in 1 John once again, he said this. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for the brethren. Turn over to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, right again, towards the end of your Bible, you'll find the book of 1 Peter. And in chapter number 5 and verse 7, this classic verse, simple little verse, draw a line around it. It said, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That word careth, you see that word, careth? In the Hebrew text and in the English language as well, that's what's called present perfect tense. Which means this, it means he careth, he careth, he careth, he careth. Not he cares today and he may not care tomorrow, or he cares today and he may not care for you an hour later, or he cares for you now, but just as soon as that need's met, he doesn't care for you. He's preoccupied with something else. No, present perfect tense means he cares, he cares, he cares, he cares. Always. As a matter of fact, the Bible said this, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He right now, in the very presence of God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, and he's praying, making intercession on your behalf before the Father. He knows your need. He knows your need. He knows all about you. It's exhibited. Care and love is exhibited in the person of Christ like nowhere else. He laid down his life for the brethren. He died that we might have everlasting life. He was willing to die to give his life a ransom. Boy, there's a song that's sung, and I can't remember if anybody sang it here or not recently, but it's called His Life for Mine. Oh, that's an awesome song. That's like that Chris sang a while ago. It gives me Holy Ghost bumps when I hear that. His life for mine. He gave his life for me, gave his life for you. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. Nobody, nobody. Listen, he loved you so much he died for you. But he loved you so much he intercedes for you even now, making intercession for you. He loves you so much he knows what things you have need of before you ever ask him. Nobody ever cared for you like Jesus. He ever lives to take care of you and desires you. Go back to Psalms 55 in the Old Testament, please, in verse number 22. Psalms 55, and when you find, we'll look at it, verse number 22. One passage of Scripture here. David, writing in another place, said, no man cares for my soul. But in Psalms 55, in verse number 22, listen to this wonderful statement. He's speaking about the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. David said you can cast all your cares on him. He cares about you. He's going to sustain you. He'll suffer you not to be moved, not to fall into distress. You may think, boy, you're not going to make it, but he's not going to suffer you to be moved. He'll take care of you. He'll stay with you. My dear friend, care is exhibited by the Lord Jesus. Can I say something to you? In these years that I've served him, tried to be faithful to him, I'm like Brother Craig Edwards wrote in that song, I failed the Lord, but he's never failed me. There's been times that I felt like I wasn't close to him, but there's never been a time he wasn't close to me. Been a time that I didn't have my heart completely focused on him, but never was a time that he didn't love me with an everlasting love. I can tell you right now, you can cast all your cares on him. You can share your thing with him, and he'll help you. He'll minister to you. And I want to tell you in the radio audience and internet audience and here in this building, there's not one person in here that loves you as much as Jesus does. He loved you before the foundation of the world. He loves you. Whenever we were in an old building one Sunday, this is way back after we first came, people were coming out, I was shaking hands, and I'd say, I love you and love you. Charles came out, and I put my arms around him, and I said, I love you, son. I love you. I didn't call him son. I said, I love you. And there was a little fella standing, I don't remember who it was. You're probably a grown man now, married and got children. But there was somebody, one of you maybe, who was standing close by me. And when I put my arms around Charles and hugged him and said, I love you, he said this, you're supposed to, he's your son. I never forgot that. You're supposed to because he's your son. Can I tell you something? He loves you in that while you were yet sinners, he loved you. He loved you. God conveyed, God showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And listen, he loved us when we were sinners. You think he's going to love you less when you're his son? Oh, no, no, no. The Bible said God gave his own son for us, and by him he'll freely give us all things. Whatever you need, God's going to take care of you. No man cared for my soul. We've all got there. But I want to remind you, there's somebody who cares. Somebody who never leave you nor forsake you. Somebody who's there with you. In those darkest hours when you feel like you're in prison and those times when you feel like there's no way out, he cares. Cast all your cares on him. Trust him. Let him meet your need this morning. My dear friend, for somebody to know Christ. I relate the story. I know it was not long ago, seemed like I told it. I don't know if I told it here or not. But when we were over in the old building, there was a family in our church that befriended a couple, young people, and she was expecting a baby, and they were not married, and they took them in to their home and told them, you know, until you get straightened out and get married, you can't sleep in the same bedroom, but you stay with us. And the girl got saved just a few days. The boy wouldn't get saved. Over and over again, family witnessed to him, people at church witnessed to him, I witnessed to him, we was having vacation Bible school over there. And the family that was hosting them, it'd been some length of time, the lady came to him and said, Brother Billy, please go back and witness to this young man. They'd come to vacation Bible school. Said, go back there and witness to him again. And said, we talked to him this morning, our devotions and everything, and please witness to him again. It was Friday. I was tired. Vacation Bible school was over with. I had talked to him, prayed with him. Like I said, I was blue in the face. Everybody else had. And she said, please go back there. I was ready to go. But I went back where he was at. Got in there. He's sitting in there by himself. I walked in about half mad. I really did. I felt like he had just everybody loved him. And I said, look, I'm going to ask you a question. Is there somebody in this church that's keeping you from getting saved? He said, no. I said, people have loved you. They prayed for you. They've done everything for you. And you still won't get saved. I said, is there something in your life that God won't save you from? He said, no. And I said, well, man, look, people have done all these. I was about ready to just tell him, you just go on to hell if you want to. I'm tired of fooling with you. That's honest before the Lord. That's where I was at. And I said, will you tell me what's wrong with you? And he put his head down and he mumbled something. And I said, son, look at me. What did you say? I want to know. I want to help you. And he said, I'm mad at God. I said, what do you mean you're mad at God? He said, I'm mad at God. He said, I see these families coming in here, moms and dads, little children. He said, I've never known that. He said, I never knew my daddy. From the time I could remember, there was one man after another in my mama's bed. I'd be stuck off in a side room somewhere. Said, when I was, I think he was 12, something like that. My mama had a boyfriend. He really didn't like me. He didn't want me around. One day, mama put me in the car and said, come on, we're going to ride to Raleigh. I was excited and got in the car and rode to Raleigh. Mama put up beside the sidewalk in Raleigh, and I was 12 years old, and said, let's get out right here. And so I got out, and my mama drove off and left me on the street. From the time I was 12 years old, and later I went with him. It was a legal matter that he had to settle up. When he got right with God, he wanted to settle up, and I went with him into Raleigh to the courthouse and all. But he rode down a side street there, and he pointed to a building. He said, right up there, I drug an old mattress out of a trash can. And he said, I slept up there on top of that building for over a year. By the time he was 12 years old, he'd eat out of trash cans, he'd eat everywhere else, living on the street around Raleigh. And he said, I'm mad at God. I said, why? He said, because he didn't let me have a good mama. God, he never let me know my daddy. I never had a family like that. Nobody ever loved me. Nobody ever cared. And I just didn't know what to say. And I guess it was the Holy Ghost. And I looked at him. He said, I've never had a daddy. And I called his name and I said, son, God wants to be your daddy. And the Holy Ghost of God used that. He broke and melted, like he melted in that chair, and he began to weep. He said, do you think he really cares about me? I told him, I said, son, all that happened to you wasn't God's fault. I said, the wage of sin is death. That's sin. That's what sin will do for you. I said, but God can purge and forgive your sin, and God can give you a love for your mom and for your daddy, wherever he's at. And he did find his daddy. He did reconcile with his daddy. And that day, that boy gave his heart to the Lord, because all he wanted to know was that somebody really cared. And God, the Holy Ghost, helped him to see that nobody cared for him like Jesus, who loved him and died for him. Can I tell you right now, there's somebody who cares for you. His name is Jesus. Knows all about you, loves you. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning? No man cared for my soul. No man. Dear Lord Jesus, in this building, there are some young teenagers who question if anybody really cares. Maybe there's some children here in the building or in the radio audience or internet audience, and they wonder if anybody really cares, because nobody's ever really showed them how much they love them. God, there's some big, strong men in this building and in the media audience that would say they were tough. They don't really care if anybody loves them or not, but down deep in their soul, I know they long for somebody to care. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you love us, that you care. And God, I pray the sweet Holy Ghost of God right now would put your arms around that one who feels as if they're in a prison, who feels as if there's no hope. They're overwhelmed. And I pray, God, they would feel the compassionate demonstration of the presence and power of God in their life. And God, I pray you'll assure them that you'll never leave them nor forsake them. That our Father, that God, you'll help them, you'll minister to them. And God, I pray, God, that they'd respond to that love. I pray for dear ladies who think nobody really cares, that God, they'll know how much you care. And Lord, I pray you would, Lord, move in our hearts. Thank you that our Father, over the years, I've seen such care demonstrated by this church fellowship, and it continues to be that way. But God, I would pray that, God, that you'd put it in the heart of every member, Lord, help me. God, I pray for a revival of love and care and compassion for lost souls, for God's people. And I pray, God, you'd help us to understand that caring for people really is costly. Jesus laid down his life. He gave his life that we might have life. And God, I pray we'd be willing to pay the price to love you and share our love and your love with people, whatever it takes. And God, I pray this morning that God, those who came into this building with a heavy burden, more than they could carry, God, would you do, God, what only you could do? Take their burden. I pray, God, that they cast their cares on you. Help them to understand that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And God, lift that care and that burden. Set them free. And dear friend, Lord, I pray for our dear friends who are here who don't know Christ and in the ready audience. God, I pray they'd understand that you love them so much you died for them and you gave your son for them. And Lord Jesus, I pray that God, right now, that God, you draw them by your grace and they would come to this old-fashioned altar and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I know you care. I know you bore your sins in your own body on the tree and you died for me, paid for my sin debt. Lord, come in my heart and save me right now. God, I pray they do that. I pray they'd be saved. Would you please stand with your heads bowed and eyes are closed? Brother Brad, I hope you're going to sing some of that song. I want you to listen. Dr. Charles Waggle was an evangelist, a preacher, loved souls. It was a great cost to him of travel and time and investment. But his wife said to him one day, Charles, you've either got to give up preaching or I'm going to leave. And I want you to know there's a great cost on a preacher's family and on his children. And please, you pray for preachers and missionaries and evangelists. Pray for their families. And he said, I love you and I love the Lord, but I can't quit serving him. He went for a revival and came home. She was gone. She never came back. With a broken heart, sometime later, he sat down one night, and someone who he thought loved him with all of her heart left him. He wrote this song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus.